You've just joined us. Welcome to the conversation. We're moving on now to get some legal insights about what a total block on lockdown retrenchments could possibly mean.
FEDUSA, the Federation of Unions of South Africa, has called for a moratorium on retrenchments amid the level 3 restrictions. The union said that while it welcomed the extended restrictions as a tool to curb coronavirus, there were concerns about the impact on the tourism, personal care, entertainment and hospitality sectors, because according to the union's president, Rifta Ajam, the government's stimulus package has also failed to deliver the silver bullet that many had put their hopes on, with inadequate results. Joining us in conversation to unpack what a total block on lockdown retrenchment could mean is the director in employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Bongani Masuku. Bongani, good evening and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Benito. Good evening to the listeners. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. With this call from FEDUSA for a moratorium on retrenchments, who has the final say to put this moratorium in place? What is the process?
It seems to me, Benito, that the request really, or the demand by FEDUSA, is directed specifically at government in its capacity as an employer. I've read the media release as well, dated the 13th, as well as the one issued on 18th, and it seems to me that the target is really against the government in its capacity as the employer. Of course, it is possible, despite the wording of the media release, that maybe they are targeting government in its capacity as a legislature. It's possible that they're requesting that there be a legislative intervention that says all employers, both public and private sector, are barred from effecting retrenchments. But that detail is pretty much not clear in that report.
Presuming that they are approaching this from a legislative point of view, how will government need to respond to this if they agree to it?
Well, it would entail a very complicated legal legislative process, Benito, and it's something that's not necessarily going to be achieved within the next month, two, or even three. We all know how long it takes to pass any legislation within the South African context, and how long it would take to pass any amendment to any legislation, because what we're talking about here really would possibly be, from a legislative point of view, an amendment to Section 189 and 189A of the Labour Relations Act, which is not something you can achieve within a day or two. But not only that, employers have a right in terms of the Labour Relations Act, Section 189, read together with Section 189A, which talks about the mass retrenchment part of things. Employers have a right to retrench people based on their operational requirements, which are defined as the economic, technological, structural, or other similar requirements of the employer. And COVID-19 presents a very significant economic need for a lot of employers to start these retrenchment processes.
Yeah, and the irony is that FEDUSA is calling on that moratorium precisely because of the impacts of COVID-19. But given your explanation around the legislative approach, it would appear unlikely just given the time frame. So possibly it could be directed at government as an employer. What is the impacts on a moratorium on retrenchments, Bongani?
It's quite ironic, Benito, for a number of reasons, because it cuts both ways as far as my view is concerned. On the one hand, there are some benefits that can be gleaned from a moratorium on retrenchments by the employee parties, including trade unions and trade union federations such as FEDUSA, because what it would simply mean in simple layman's terms is that there would be no retrenchments during COVID level 3, adjusted level 3, which is what we are on now.
Yes.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it would bode well, for all those employees who then get to miss the guillotine of retrenchments. Because, if you can imagine a situation where an employer says, I want to retrench you because of reasons based on my operational requirements related to economics. We don't have the money, our books are not looking good, our clients are not paying, nobody's able to run their business according to what they're used to running their business under the normal. We are all operating under a new normal and everything else has been significantly affected. Now, if that's the case, what it means is that you are not able to push production at the levels at which you are able to push it under normal circumstances, which means that you are therefore not able to pay salaries, et cetera, et cetera. And while it might be safer for an employee to keep the job, what is the job worth to an employee if they actually cannot get a salary out of that job? So it is quite an irony. And it is quite a complex one, as far as my view is concerned. There are some advantages in the sense that you get to keep your job, but in some instances, keeping the job is not worth the paper it's written on. If you're not able to clean a salary, or if you're not able to actually work in some industries, particularly in the hospitality, in the personal care, in entertainment, as well as in the tourism sectors, are currently almost on a standstill.
How can employees then protect themselves during this time?
The operational requirements in terms of the Labor Relations Act have been defined in a number of labor court and labor appeal court cases that need to be no-fault dismissals. In other words, you get retrenched not on the basis of any fault of your own. So there is not much that an employee really can do to evade a retrenchment if the company finds itself in a position where, based on its operational requirements, be it economically speaking, be it technologically speaking or structurally speaking, is no longer able to keep a certain section of its employees employed.
Yeah.
So there's not much that an employee can do to evade that. But there are important pointers in relation to how employees can protect themselves from other types of dismissals, which may relate to, say, for example, misconduct, which may relate to incapacity related to poor work performance, incapacity and those kinds of things. And I can tell you that we've seen a spike in CCMA cases relating to one particular type of misconduct, and that is insubordination and insolence, where people receive instructions. Insubordination is defined as people receiving an instruction from management and simply refusing to carry it out. And that is something that is definitely on the rise, you know, in the law reports as we speak. So no-fault dismissals, retrenchments, you're probably not going to be able to protect yourself from that. It may be that some senior employees may be able to influence things at the top management structures of an employer such that maybe production is able to be pushed and different ideas may be exchanged in relation to how production can be pushed to a level that everybody else's employment can then be saved. But you know, that is probably a small percentage of persons out there in the world, particularly in South Africa.
Yeah. Bongani, lastly, yeah, are there any other measures that employers can utilize, for example, to avoid retrenchments?
It's an interesting one. You know, a lot of employers, as soon as we started COVID and we got into the different levels of lockdown, started to implement a couple of strategies and stratagems to ensure that they try and keep their businesses alive, you know, they keep the heartbeat of whatever makes the business tick going. So a lot of employers have gone into short time, for example, in relation to employees that are able to work, but because of the reduction, significant reduction in the demand of whatever services or goods that they're providing, they're no longer able to, say, operate from an 8-to-5 basis, for example. So they've had to apply short time. A lot of employers have had to consider various other options in relation to, obviously, being forced to work from home in circumstances where that is a possibility based on the nature of their employment relationship, what the person is employed to do and their job functions. So those are sort of some of the few examples that employers are able to do to keep people in employment, keep them working, keep them being able to earn a salary while keeping, you know, the heartbeat of the business beating, as it were. But other than that, you know, it really depends on the industry and the sector that you're in. And if you are, such as FEDUSA organizes mostly in the hospitality, personal care, in the entertainment and in the tourism sector, you know, those sectors are one of the hardest hit by these different levels of COVID lockdown that we've seen.
Yeah, one can certainly sympathize because it has been extremely, extremely challenging for that particular sector. Should FEDUSA be successful and other unions possibly see this as precedent setting, what are the potential consequences for that in our employment, in our labor landscape?
It would be a mammoth victory for FEDUSA, I must say, and it would be almost like lifting a mountain, I imagine, because I imagine the intention is to say to the employer, I mean to government, in your capacity as the largest employer in the country, you must stop retrenching our people until such time that, you know, the economic situation and the COVID situation improves. you know, I think that that would be quite a mammoth victory. And I think that other union, trade unions and trade union federations outside of FEDUNSA would probably look at that as something to follow, as an example to follow in an attempt to protect the employment or the status of being employed for those that they represent. But as I've said in the beginning of the call, Benito, sometimes that benefit could, in some instances, only just be artificial, because you know the contract of employment is only as good as the salary that any person is able to reap come the end of the month or the end of the fortnight when it's time for them to be paid. And in some instances, you might find that you keep a person in employment, but as a matter of fact, there's simply just no money in the bank. The books of the company are such that it actually has a good enough business case to retrench those persons. The situation is quite dire.
Pungani Masuku, Director in Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Appreciate your time and your insights on the matter. Pungani, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Benito. Thank you to the listeners.